The gospel today contains in it a phrase that has been immortalized in the life of the church. It is a phrase that has significant meaning for us as Christians, namely, ephphatha, that is, be opened. In the preparatory rites for baptism, whether for infants or for adults, this phrase has been used throughout the history of the church as part of a ritual to express the opening of the ears to hear God's word, to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, and to open our mouth to proclaim that good news which we have heard and accepted. This is offered to us in a spiritual sense, in one way, in the sense of receiving the good news of the incarnation, of the passion, death, and resurrection, and ascension into heaven of Jesus Christ, and of the redemption that we receive through those saving events, and the power that they give us to hear God's goodness and to proclaim it not only with our mouths, but with our whole lives. And this fits in very well with the second reading that we heard last week, where it is said to us again and again, hear. Once again, God is telling us, hear. And he's giving us the ability to do it by saying to the ears and the mouth, be opened. And once again, the response to being able to hear God's word is to act upon it, whether in praising God and worship or in living the commandments that he gives. But there's another significance that we can find here with this man, because the opening of our ears to hear with faith God's good word is a rather impressive feat. It is an opening from a deafness that we have always had in our lives due to original sin. But note something particular about this particular man's deafness. He has a speech impediment that suggests to us, especially given this period of time, that he was not always deaf. That at one time he had been able to hear, and so he began to learn to speak. But then he became deaf, and so unable to hear the very words coming out of his mouth, they became slurred and unclear. And this would be especially true if he had not fully learned to speak yet when he became deaf as a young man. In this way, we can understand humanity as a whole. God created us good. God created us able to understand his plan for humanity. He created us to understand what human nature is, how we're supposed to work, how we're supposed to live. And yet when we sinned, we became, as it were, deaf to the words that God was speaking to us, even from the depths of our nature. And so the word that came from our hearts became slurred. We became unable to hear it, able to make mistakes about our human nature. And this points out something to us in theology, because we believe many things that are revealed, and we only could have known them if God showed it to us. Things like the fact that God is a Trinity. Things like God revealed himself to people, that he has a personal, intimate care for each of us. Things like the fact that God became flesh in Jesus Christ, that he walked with us, taught us, and suffered and died for us, bringing about our redemption. The fact that God gives us sacraments. All of these things we could only know if they were revealed to us. But there's a whole list of other things that we believe, or that we act on, or are necessary for living a moral life, that maybe God did reveal them, but in theory, we should have been able to know them just by sitting down and thinking about it. These are what the church often calls the natural law, the law of God written in our hearts even before baptism, the law that accords with what it means to be human and with what human fulfillment is all about. You see, before the fall, we could reason about this natural law perfectly. But with the introduction of original sin and concupiscence, it becomes a lot easier for us to make mistakes. And so we can look at ancient philosophers and lawgivers who had never heard of Christ or even the God of Abraham, saying good and true things about what it means to be human. And many people tried to follow these, some more successful than others. But the record of humanity on always following what is good is, as we know, mixed. We can sit down and reason that you shouldn't kill other human beings, and yet, you know what? People still do it, and people still reason up certain kinds of exceptions that you might follow. The same could be said of theft, or adultery, or lying, or any of these things. Most of the Ten Commandments, in fact, could be known by reason, and in fact are recognized by the consciences of people who are not just Christians, or even Jews, or even who follow any religion at all. But nowadays we find ourselves in a particularly tight situation, because the Catholic Church has always taught as one big unit the truth. Those things which could be known simply by reason, or those which are helped by revelation so that we can know them more surely, or even those things that could only be known by revelation. The ironic and sad result is that in a post-Christian age, people who have rejected faith and those things that could only be known because God revealed them have also ended up rejecting things that human reason is perfectly capable of knowing, saying, well, the church teaches that, therefore, that must be something that their God revealed. Therefore, we don't have to believe that. And now the church and we Christians find ourselves in the awkward situation of trying to be able to speak in a language that can still communicate what it means to be a truly fulfilled human. And what are the things that we can reason about that we don't need to have recourse to revelation to assert are true and good for living out life in a human society, living a just and good life? And you can make arguments on to what extent the church should fight in a particular situation for certain of these things in the secular rule of authority. There are pragmatic concerns there for sure. But there's a lot more to be done in trying to find what is reasonable and what is good. And we must pray that the ears of the whole world may be opened at the very least to the truth that God communicates through the reason that he has given to each of us. And just by way of one example of how all of this fits, I want to look at the letter from James. He speaks of how you might imagine a richly dressed person comes into church and also a shabbily dressed person. And now I want you to imagine for a moment that sitting right next to you now, just came into church, is a homeless man, very shabbily dressed, holes in his clothes. They probably haven't been washed in months, soaked in the rain, hasn't had a bath in months, stinks to high heaven. And sitting next to you, even if he sat a few pews away from you, you're struggling to breathe. You're about to pass out. It's that bad. And he's sitting next to you. What is your instinct? Do you try to scoot over? Say the sign of peace comes and he extends his hand to you. Are you going to offer yours? Or even handshakes are kind of a lame sign of peace. A hug, it kind of fits better with what the nature of that expression is. Would you hug that soaking wet, stinking to high heaven man who Lord knows what's in his hair? These are tough questions, and they present problems in all sorts of places. And this comes up not only in church, good heavens, these wherever you might run into such a person, or even anybody that you might look down on. What is your reaction? How do you show the love of Jesus Christ? Now, of course, by reason, we could figure out the law, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You can look at human nature and say, everybody ought to be treated the same. If I want to be treated a certain way, I should treat others in that same way, to show a human sort of love. We could know that by reason. But what the gospel shows us even more clearly is that every person that we might look upon, especially the most lowly, we should see on them the face of Jesus Christ. Now, what's your reaction? You see Jesus Christ standing next to you, stinking, ugly. Are you going to hug him? Is the divinity that you can barely see, is that going to shine out enough for you to show love to one that you definitely don't feel like showing love to? You see the challenge. This is the challenge for all of us in living the gospel in our lives, whatever situation you might find it. Just because the gospel, or even what can be found out by human reason, doesn't line up with what we feel is right or what we feel like doing, so what? The truth is that Jesus Christ is there. He is good. He has created all things, and he has revealed what must be done to be truly fulfilled humans to all of us through his church. Praise be Jesus Christ now and forever.